This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
836 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, in for Steve Cochran. Mark Carmen is here, as well as Mary Vandeville, Steve Grzanich. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Greg Flam's going to join us at DuPage Picker. We're going to play the swap meet, 312-981-7200. This is where we evaluate your collectibles, your memorabilia, your junk.
I got stuff.
You got stuff?
Absolutely.
I first thing Mark said when we were talking, he's like, whose poster is that in the I have a framed Michael Jordan poster that is the Star is Born poster of Sports Illustrated.
You have the Sports Illustrated rookie Jordan
framed, this huge thing.
1984, yeah. Sweet as all get out. I was wondering who it was, and I was debating stealing it, but you know, those days, I just can't do that anymore, Justin. My stealing days are over. No more candy bars out of Gazelle's.
And Greg Flam, actually, he evaluated that at over $100. So.
Did he really?
Yeah.
It's worth it. It's got to be.
Yeah, there you go.
See?
So that's coming up here on the download. But this hour, let's talk about what just went into effect on July 1st. This is interesting because on the 1st, JetBlue really takes a lead on this. The airline is banning emotional support animals like rodents, spiders, reptiles, poultry, ferrets. These are different animals that people have been bringing on or possibly had the potential to bring on to planes. And we've seen so much over the last couple months about emotional support animals and what can be brought on a plane. And obviously the big story about the peacock that was brought on. But the rules have changed. JetBlue's not only the only airline. There's also a story coming up here on July 6th. That this is going to be interesting. The U.S. Department of Transportation is making plans to amend and clarify the Air Carrier Access Act. We'll find out all about that, but there's going to be a moment for public comment coming up. In studio right now, Beth Finke. Beth Finke, a longtime journalist, commentator, and she is the author of Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. This was someone, Beth, who is a regular on my show, The Download, who it's great to see you in the morning. Beth, great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
All right, so this is obviously July 1st was a big moment, but you know what I really want to talk about is that was lost in the shuffle when it comes to emotional support animals and service animals on airplanes and travel is that people actually need these animals. For your, in your case, being visually impaired, you have a need for these animals, and your life has changed in the way that so many emotional support animals have been let on planes that it actually has an impact on people and how they deal with you.
Yep. Can I give you an example?
Yeah, please.
The last time I flew in May, I flew with my seeing eye dog, Whitney, and I went to check in for the flight, and a small dog yapped and came after her. You know, it no one got hurt, but it really alarmed me. You know, that I'm not used to having to worry about that in airports. Like,
right.
I think I get in an airport, and the only dogs that will be there are security dogs or police dogs or trained service dogs. So there was that dog. All right, well, that was it. And then I got to the gate, and it happened again, and the thing. That dog was on the flight that we were on. I was with my husband, Mike, and he said that that dog had a service dog cape on.
Uh-huh.
So the two questions you can ask legally, but I'm not legal, but businesses need to know that you can ask someone, is that a service dog?
Right.
And then you can ask them, what work or task does that do for you? So I asked the woman, is that a service dog? Yes. And she said he helps her avoid panic attacks on the plane. And so I thought, well, you're giving me one.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say, so I just sat back. But then when I got back with Mike, he said, there's another woman on here with a little dog that says it's a service dog, but she's holding it. And when Southwest announced that people with disabilities could get on, you know, could line up, they were the first two. They ran and one took one bulkhead, and the other took the other bulkhead.
Do you see, I mean, obviously so much made of emotional support dogs or any animals for that matter. Do you notice the change and do you hold judgment on that as someone who needs this service animal for someone as a blind woman? Do you think, you know, that these things aren't necessary, that people are just trying to scam the system?
Well, that would be judging, wouldn't it? I can't know. I mean, I really can't know, and I can't see them either. So there are a lot more dogs in all businesses and everywhere, and on flights especially. About every time I go to the airport, there is a dog that's at, you know, waiting. I don't know, to get in. To be honest, I think they are. Here's the deal. If you can bring a small dog on a plane legally, you have to use a carrier, you know, a pet, and it has to be able to fit. The carrier has to fit under the seat in front of you, and then you can bring it, but you have to pay.
Right.
So these are people gaming the system so they don't, this is what I think, so they don't have to pay. And it's at the expense of those of us that need our dogs to be well-behaved, not distracted, keep us safe. And to be honest, it kind of hurts my feelings. You know, I've had more than once somebody in a plane has said to me, oh, you are so lucky you get to bring your dog. I wish I could bring my dog on the plane. And I don't think anybody's ever said, oh, you're so lucky. I wish I had a prosthetic leg. You know, I wish I had, you know. So they're not understanding that this is not my pet. You know,
And there's something to be said that it gets lost in the shuffle in this argument. And when you see the news reports and the media talking about all the crazy animals that are let into the airport, and it becomes this big fervor in the country. What's lost and continues to be lost is that, you know, people are taking advantage of a law that is in place to help people who are disabled.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about what's coming up on the 6th.
Actually, it's the 9th I gave you the information.
Okay,
yeah,
it's on the 9th.
By the 9th, yeah.
But the U.S. Department of Transportation wants to amend and clarify regulations for the Air Carrier Access Act. What is that?
It's kind of complicated, but I've been practicing at home. The ADA is the Department of Justice is in charge of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Mm-hmm. And that's the act that says if you want to have a service dog, you have to have a significant disability, and that dog has to do a specific task or work for you. So that's the ADA. The Air Carriers Act isn't as strict as that. And so that it allows emotional support dogs and comfort dogs. People with those dogs have to have a letter from their mental health official, you know, and it has to be now the new regulation. Some of them, it has to be signed with the person's license. Now, the person that's the mental health official has to give their license. Yeah. That I think will help a little bit because I would hope a lot of mental health officials don't want to to lie. I mean, frankly, but so the Air Carriers Act has allowed emotional support dogs, and so this is tricky.
This is to modify and clarify that to narrow who can bring an emotional support animal on the plane.
Right, and to make it jive, you know, to work together so that the Department of Transportation, Department of Justice, the laws are more similar.
And for those who don't understand, can you outline how the dog helps you specifically in the airport, how it makes your life easier and making flying something that you can do?
Sure. I often fly by myself, so I'll skip all the, you know, people are from Chicago area, so they know how the cab thing works. Although I will say, I call a cab, and then I get in the cab first, and then I call Whitney to come in, and she sits on the floor of the cab. She doesn't sit on the pad. They've been taught to do that. Then when we get out where you check out where you check in outside?
Yeah, the
arrival, departures.
Yeah, so then somebody is right there, you know, taking my bag. Curbside check-in, that's
right,
it, thank you. So they take my bag. And then they call somebody to be the assistant, you know, to help me get through security and all that stuff. But I don't need a wheelchair. So they always come with a wheelchair. So what I do is I just follow that person because I need somebody who can get me. Seeing eye dogs can't go on escalators for fear that they'll get their paws caught. So we have to go to the elevator. So I need somebody that knows how to get to the elevator. And since I'm not always on the same gate, I can't teach my dog to do that, you know. So she knows the follow command. So I follow, follow, follow. Then we get to security. She knows how to get through all the stanchions and the ropes. I go through. I make her sit and wait while I walk through. Then she walks through, and it always beeps because she has that metal thing. Then I get through that. Then we hook up with another personal assistant, get to the gate. And then at the gate, I'm on my own. So I try to sit next to the jetway when they call that it's time to get out. You know, I get to the jetway, show my ticket. Whitney takes me onto the plane. Whitney takes me to a seat. She guides me to where the seat is. If they have me in seat 9, I feel all the seat backs while we're walking. And then she sits underneath the seat in front of me. She puts her bottom underneath and then her head. And then she just stays like that the whole flight. And that took years of training and years of experience, right. You know, and all to do all
that. Amazing.
And, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Do you feel, from your experience being in the airplane or in the airport, that the staffs of the different airlines are trained to help you? Do they understand? Do they have the assistance down? Do the flight attendants understand? Can they make the distinction between how you use Whitney and how I might use my lap dog for emotional support?
Good question. A friend of ours, a flight attendant, we asked him, and he said, "It's once they get on the plane, we're there to serve the customer, so we can't judge. You know, it's they should have gone through all that on the way in. So they don't really have. I guess there have been stories where the flight attendants did, but he said that's not their job. They just make everybody as comfortable as they can. So they
and fellow passengers.
Yeah,
are they familiar with the service animals? I mean, or do they think that, like you said, and your anecdotal story about somebody saying, "I wish I could bring my dog on." Mm-hmm. Are they usually understanding that you need this service animal?
Usually, but the more these other people game the system, the more amateur dogs there are. And so I do get questioned more. I used to never get questioned, "Is that a service dog?" I'm kind of glad when they ask. And now when I call to make my flight reservation or on Amtrak also, they ask me over the phone, "Is your dog a service dog? How much does your dog weigh?" They ask more questions than they ever asked before. Sometimes I have an ID from the Seeing Eye School where I got Whitney, and sometimes I'm asked for the ID. It's not the end of the world. And to be honest, I'm kind of glad they asked, but it was a lot easier back when there weren't all these people claiming they had service dogs. Right. So
Beth Finke's my guest. We're talking about just on July 1st, they changed some of the rules on JetBlue, and I think Delta's involved too, for what emotional support animals can be allowed on a plane. And now there is talk coming up on July 9th. The Air Carrier Access Act, the Department of Transportation issued a notice of wanting to change the rules, and there's going to be public comments, and we're talking about how, as they change the rules, what effect that'll have on passengers and people who are flying. Beth, of course, the author of Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. We'll continue the conversation, but before we do that, let's find out what's coming up in the 9 o'clock news. Steve Grzanich?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It's good to be king, if just for a while.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran this morning. Steve's back on Monday. Mark Carman's here. Mary Vandeville's here. Steve Grzanich. 312-981-7200. We're talking with Beth Finke right now. Beth, a longtime writer, commentator, journalist here in Chicago. She's also the author of Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. As someone who is visually impaired, she obviously has vested interest in what the airlines are doing with their process and their... I guess their guidelines when it comes to what kind of service animal is allowed on a plane. We've seen over the last, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, everyone, it just seems like it's out of whack that everyone has figured out ways to almost scam the system to get their dogs on. And maybe there is a need, Beth, for emotional support. There's anxiety, there's things that, of nature, but what's overshadowing is that there are people in this world that actually rely on their service animals, you included with Whitney, that aren't in this conversation. And that's the part I think that the reason we're talking today is that it always seems to be about the outliers, the people that are trying to get it, but not about the people that rely on this kind of thing.
Right. And even the people who need emotional support animals, and they're getting kind of screwed too, because people who are gaming it are really ruining it for them. Actually, I have a person I know who raised puppies to become guide dogs said she's quit doing it because it used to be something where she did it and people were always happy, and so that's okay. And she said, and now so many people they're thinking she's cheating because she's walking around with a puppy. That's not it, you know. And so she just said it's not any fun anymore. So I was surprised that, my God, it's even affecting that.
You know, and a caller or a texter wrote this, and I guess this falls into the same category. They say 708. They say, "I see people all the time park in handicap spots."
Yes.
At Jewel. No one ever does a thing about it. This is a society that takes advantage of anything that doesn't get strictly enforced. And there's something about that because, you know, this is a good example that, that this is a rule that is in place. It was a very obscure rule that people may not have known about, as about being able to bring service animals on, but nobody questioned it and no one really enforced it. And we saw a society take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know if I guess that's true. I hope that Americans don't take advantage, you know, of every single law that's not strictly enforced. I see it different. I see it as people wanting things for themselves. Yeah. Frankly, I see it as selfishness.
Well, let's do this. Let's get your headphones on,
okay,
because I want to take a couple calls before we wrap up here. Let's go to Sue, who's out in Harvard. Sue, what's your thought on this issue?
Well, I'm right there with that. I'm visually impaired. I've now just recently got my second guide dog, and I have a lot of the issues. But my question is, like Beth, I don't have a problem with these people having their emotional or companion dogs on, but they need to be trained. But I just was wondering if she's heard anything of whether these animals are going to be trained. I mean, like she said, our dogs go through extensive training between, you know, a year and a half, 2 years, and then they train with us when we go get them and train for 2 weeks at least. And now, but these people just walk on with these just pets, and their dogs don't behave.
That's a great point, Sue. Thanks
for
the call.
And our dogs are valuable. I mean, they're valuable in their assistance to us, but they're also monetarily valuable. And if these, you know, they can be ruined by a non-trained other dog that if they get attacked or something.
Which is what Beth was talking about. Yeah. Thanks, Sue. That is a good point, this idea that there is training. And really, when you talk about emotional support animals, that's much different than service animals.
You're right. And there is, in that Justin was talking earlier about the Department of Transportation seeking public comment. There's a place you can go and you can comment there. And so, Sue, you could write them, and one of the things you could say, well, what exactly you just said to us, but I would like them to have training somehow or have some proof of training. If you go there, it's interesting to read all the comments because people are all over the map, but some have really, really good ideas of, okay. And so you can read some of the comments the other people have
said. Let's get a couple more calls in before we wrap up here. Mike, you're up on the northwest side. Mike, what's your thought?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I am completely against people bringing dogs or chickens or pigs or whatever onto a plane for emotional support. I mean, if you're that nervous about flying, there's other means. You can drive yourself. You can take a bus. You can take a train. I mean, for your guest, I'm 100% for it because she needs that pet, that service dog to help her. That I understand. But if you have emotional problems where you have to have this on a plane, then you shouldn't fly. If it's that much, you know, because I know there's people that probably take, you know, Xanax or whatever type of pill to calm them, but they don't bring on a pet. I mean, it's been abused for a long time, and I think now the airlines are requiring, certain airlines are requiring people to have documentation from the veterinarian like 2 weeks prior to their flight, and they have to, there's some other stuff that I think has been implemented, but just to bring it on so that, you know, I mean, having a dog is like having a child to a degree, but I mean, if you don't have friends that can take care of a pet while you're away, then don't have the pet. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. You know, there's so much more to talk about here, Beth, and I think that what hasn't been talked about, Mike kind of hit on it just a little bit, mm-hmm. is the idea of anxiety and what it takes to get somebody on a plane, but also the love of their pet in the way that the way the system is right now. If you're going to fly with a pet, you have to put the pet down and it gets put into the bowels of the plane.
If it's a big one. I mean, the small ones can get on, but you're right. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
So there's a lot that goes into this.
Yes.
And we'll continue, but the public comment begins July 9th. The department.
No, it doesn't. Ends then.
Ends July 9th. Good question. You've got to do it by
July
9th.
Do it now. Yes.
I'm glad I made that distinction. Yes. Thanks for the correction. Up to July 9th, public comment on this at the Department of Transportation website. We'll put up the link. Beth Finke is the author. She's an author, journalist, commentator. She is the author of Writing Out Loud, What a Blind Teacher Learned from Leading a Memoir Class for Seniors. We're talking about service animals and this emotional support animals and the rules that are changing with airlines. Beth, great to have you, and thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And Whitney, the seeing eye dog, has been at my feet the whole time.
Did you?
Not a peep.
All right, we'll come back. Swap Meet, Greg Flamm coming up here on 720 WGN.